269. Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 62. And while you're turning there, I would like to remind you that this was Roy Baldwin's favorite psalm. Psalm 62. If the Lord is willing, we're going to end this service with the song, I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. That song goes right along with verse 8. Which says, trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I need thee every hour. Don't you find that in yourself? Don't you find yourself saying that? Lord, I need you every hour. Trust in Him at all times. All times. At all times, trust in Him. Trust in Him. Pour out your heart before Him. What a good reminder. Pour out your heart before Him. You know, we pour out our heart all the time to anybody who listens. If I can get somebody's ear, I'll pour my heart out to you.
pour your heart out to Him.
He said, I'll hear you. I'll bend my ear down and I'll hear you.
Pour out your heart to Him.
Pour it out to Him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Only God is a refuge for us. The first word of this psalm is truly. And that word translates only. If you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see that that word translates to mean only. That's what it means. Only. And down in verse 9, the word surely also translates to mean only. I love that translation. Only. Only. In addition to those two times, David says the word only four more times in this psalm. Only. 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 For that reason, Charles Spurgeon said this psalm is referred to as the only psalm. This is the only psalm. You can hear David's emphasis of only when he says in verse 8, trust in Him only at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him only. Only God is a refuge for us. Only God is a true refuge for us. And the word Selah means, just ponder that for a minute. That's what it means. Just pause for a minute and think about that. Just ponder that for a minute. Now, who is this God that David is saying to trust in at all times and pour our heart out to? Who is David saying is our refuge? Who is David referring to? Who is this God? Well, verse 1 says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Only Him. Verse 2 says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. David said, my God is my rock and my salvation. Who is that? Who is that? Let's not ever take it for granted that people know who God is. I told you before about that foolish man. Bless his heart. Bless that man's heart. I heard him end a wedding ceremony with a prayer. He was conducting a wedding ceremony and I was watching the ceremony. And he ended his prayer praying to God, whoever he or she may be. That's what most people think about God. Let's not ever take for granted that men and women know who God is. Who is David saying is our God and our rock and our salvation? We'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 with me. 1 Corinthians 10. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you that Bob and Rebecca have a granddaughter named Lucy Jean Simpson. And we're going to let Lucy Jean Simpson tell men and women who God is, who our rock is. Lucy is now about, I'm guessing, about 20 years old. And when Lucy was 4 years old, I told you every time I tell this, I say she's five. I found the paper I wrote it down on yesterday, and I wrote on it she was four. So I stand corrected. She was 4 years old. 4 years old. And if this doesn't prove to us that these classes are profitable, this seed that's planted teaching these children, there's more wisdom in this than all of false religion put together. But anyway, when she was 4 years old. Hannah and I were had him in Carrie's house, and we were getting ready to sit down and eat dinner. And Hannah and Carrie were putting dishes on the table, and I sat down where they told me to sit down, and Lucy slid up in the chair next to me. And she had this picture she had colored in Sunday school. And I said, "What a beautiful picture you have there." And she said, "Thank you. You want me to tell you about it?" And I said, "I sure do." And she held it up, and it had this man on it, and he was standing next to a waterfall, and it had all these people in the background. And she said, "Well, this is Moses, and all these people are the children of Israel. And they were out in the wilderness, and the children of Israel started whining and complaining. And they were just whining and complaining. They said, 'We're so thirsty, Moses. We're just so thirsty.' And they kept on whining and complaining." She said, "So do you know what Moses did?" And I said, "What?" She said, "He struck the rock." And she said, "Do you know what came out of that rock?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Living water." And the people drank and they drank and they were so satisfied. And she said, "Do you know who that rock was?" And I said, "Who?" She said, "Jesus Christ." And she said, "Do you know what that rock did?" And I said, "What?" She said, "It followed the Israelites wherever they went." Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Oh, I don't want men and women. I want men and women to have the wisdom of a 4-year-old. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." And do you know who that rock was? That rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That's who our rock is. That's who our salvation is. That's who our God is. Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. Go back with me now to Psalm 62. Verse 1 says, "Truly, only, only." And oh, may God give us a heart to say that with David. "Only my soul waiteth upon the Lord Jesus Christ, my God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." Christ is. Christ is only. And that's why David said, "I shall not be greatly moved." It's all because of Him. Verse 3 says, "How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence." That's man's nature against God. We all need to know. We need to know. That's what we are. You read something like that and you think, "Oh, how foolish they are. Why would they do that?" That's me and you by nature. That is me and you. That is all men and women naturally against God. That is man's standing before God. In his flesh, in our flesh, we are not standing on anything that is stable. Nothing. If God leaves us to ourselves, we're going to die in our sins. And here's the reason why. Verse 4 says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And that is mankind in his sinful flesh. That is man's sinful nature before God. All that sinful man wants to do in his heart is try to cast him down from his excellency. Man wants to bring God down and he wants to bring himself up. Until God does a work in man. And until God reveals the truth to man and reveals salvation to man. And then all that his people want to do is bring themselves down and lift Christ up. But man naturally wants to cast God down from his excellency. And here's the thing about it. God cannot be cast down from his excellency. Thank God. He is sovereignly seated on his throne, and that's where he's going to stay for all eternity. I love knowing that. The angel told Mary, he shall reign forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I love knowing that. Now man is going to be cast down. But not God. So David said in verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. David said to himself, he said to his own soul, look to Christ. Just keep looking to Christ. Just keep looking to Christ. Hope in him. He said, my expectation is from him. It's in him. It's from him. He's my hope. He's my hope. Only him. Verse 6 says, he only is my rock. David is well establishing this word only. Well establishing only. That needs to be well established. Only. Only. You're gonna hear a lot of religions. You're gonna hear a lot of religions. False. There's only one true religion. You're going to hear a lot of false religions who claim Christ and claim grace and claim his work. They have no problem singing Amazing Grace. They'll claim it as long as they can add their own flesh to it and add their own work to it and add their own decision to it and add something they've done, or they'll claim Christ and claim grace as long as they can share it with him. David keeps saying, only. Only. It's Christ only. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ alone. Only. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. I'm not standing on anything but him. I'm not standing on anything I've done. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He's my rock. When Moses struck that rock in the wilderness, what that represented was the law striking Christ for the sin of the people. They were whining and complaining. And that's all we do. God is sovereign. His providence is perfect. Everything he does is good and right. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We'll never be forsaken or begging bread. Yet, all we do is whine and complain. That's all I do. Just whining and complaining. Just sin. That's what man is. And when Moses struck the rock, when God told Moses, here's what you do. You strike the rock. What that represented is the law. Moses represents the law. The holy justice of the law striking Christ. The sin, transgression against the law, requires a punishment. And the law's punishment was taken out on Christ, striking Christ instead of His people. All have sinned, including God's people. And the law had to punish us for what we had done. But in grace and in mercy, God chose for His people a substitute. A substitute to bear everything that had to come to them. God provided Christ to be their substitute, to bear all of their striking punishment. And because the law struck Christ instead of His people, by His stripes, they are healed. Because He died, they live. His life poured out of Him to them. That living water flowed out to them. Through the offering of Himself, they live. Verse 7 says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord." He is glory. He's my glory. Everybody wants to go to glory. You know, we're all going to glory. He's glory. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. It is in Christ. It's in the one who was smitten for me. Manifest in the flesh to be smitten for His people. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross He was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because the Lord Jesus was wounded for me. All of God's people can say that. All of them can say, dying for me, dying for me. There on the cross He was dying for me. Now in His death, my redemption I see. In His death, I see my redemption. All because the Lord Jesus was dying for me. Risen for us. Living for us. Coming for us. I love that one. He's coming for us. Verse 7 says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. He is a refuge for us. He's our hiding place. He's our hiding place. Don't we all love that story of when Charles Wesley, he was a preacher and a hymn writer in the 1700s. He was upstairs in his house and he had the window open. And all of a sudden a huge storm just dropped out of nowhere. Just raging rain and wind and thunder. And Brother Wesley ran to the shutter windows to close them quickly. And when he reached out, a little bird flew into his coat. And he pulled that little bird into his warmth and safety. And he sat back down and he wrote, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the near waters roll, hide me, hide me, hide me. You're my refuge." In throughout this life, we're going to need a refuge. And we are hiding in Him from the great wrath and judgment of God's holiness. And every day when we need a refuge, when we need a hiding place from everything, all the storms that just roll over us, the waves of trials and troubles and sin, when we need a refuge, He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. He is our safety. He truly is. Verse 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. He said, it may appear to be one thing or another, but it's all just emptiness and it's all going to be weighed in the balance. There may a man may seem to be high in prestige and high in place in this world and high in riches and high in wealth, but he's empty and he's not going to weigh anything on that balance. It's not going to count for anything. Man of every kind, no matter what he is, no matter what he thinks he is, man in his flesh is just emptier than emptiness. Man at his best state or his worst state, doesn't matter either way. Mankind is altogether vanity, lighter than vanity, he said. Verse 10 says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't look to anything but Christ alone. Whether you're oppressed to the point of stealing, or so rich and increased that you think you have need of nothing, don't look to anything but Christ alone. Seek Christ alone. Don't put your trust anywhere but in Christ alone. Verse 11 says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Aren't we so glad? All power belongs to God. All ability belongs to God. That word power means strength. All strength belongs to God. That's not the only thing that belongs to Him. In Deuteronomy, he said, vengeance belongs to Him. He also said, the secret things of God belong to Him. But thank God, that's not all that belongs to Him. Verse 12 says, also, mercy belongs to Him. Thank God. Unto Thee, O Lord, belongs mercy. Daniel 9 says, mercy, righteousness, and forgiveness belong to Him, even though we have rebelled against Him. Psalm 3 says, salvation belongs to Him. Salvation's of the Lord. Mark 9 says, we belong to Him. How thankful we are for that. Because He purchased us with His own blood, we belong to Him. That's a good thing to remember. He bought us. We belong to Him. Everything belongs to Him. And rendering for everything. The doling out of all judgment and all reward for everything belongs to Him. The end of verse 12 says, Thou renderest to every man according to his work. Oh, the glory of knowing that all of the work of God's chosen people, all of their works, everything they've done, that was laid on Christ. And all of the works of Christ was laid on His people. Everything He did, He went about doing good. I was reading Matthew for Lord Willing Sunday morning's message, and it says the Lord went somewhere and healed everybody there. All the good. All the good. He just went about doing good. All of His good was laid on His people. And then before the judgment throne of God, we were all rewarded for the works that we stood in. Christ was justly rewarded for every sinful work that His people committed. Christ was justly rewarded because He bore them. He owned them. He took them. And we were justly rewarded. That's we want to get a hold of the amazement of Christ being justly rewarded for our sin. Just try to get a hold of the fact that we were justly rewarded for His righteousness. All the righteous works that Christ committed. Thank God all power has been given to him to do that. And all mercy has come to us because of that. It all belongs to him. It only belongs to him. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his kindness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his refuge. Thank God he's provided for us in the person of Christ our Savior a hope, a salvation, an anchor for our soul. Thank God. Verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Let's just pause and ponder that a while. Amen.